I'm not going to be in a filter too much tonight. I'm gonna tell my story. You know, people are curious about, you know, how I got to from point A to point B and the journey along the way and the strokes that I had suffered on the fifth year of Hercules and my recovery from that. But, you know, talk about what the battle we have in front of us right now. And we need to be warriors for Christ is the way I look at it. We need to wake up, and it's insane what we're doing to this world right now. So I think that I'm just going to spend some, you know, quite a bit of different topics I'm going to cover. I put some bullet points down so I don't stray too much from it, because once I get going, sometimes I can just get going and go off on a different tangent that I wasn't planning on. So, yeah, I'm going to hopefully get people to wake up a little bit and not be afraid to lose friends, because they weren't friends to begin with, and they're not going to support you, because tolerance and freedom of speech has become a one-way street owned by the mainstream media and owned by Hollywood, and I'm getting a little tired of it.
Speaking along those lines, talk about the conflict being a Christian in Hollywood.
A Christian conservative in Hollywood is the equal of being a double leper. I actually got booted out about 10, 11 years ago. My agent manager called me, and I thought it was like an intervention going to be happening, and they said, we can't work with you anymore. And I laughed at them, because I said, well, parent tolerance is a one-way street with you guys, because we're supposed to be tolerant of everything, the agendas they want to push on us. It's evil, what's going on out there. It really is. It's evil. And it's just gotten worse in these last few years, and we're using COVID as a weapon to control our lives. So I was fine with that, and, you know, God just pointed me down a different road and a different door to go through, because I still love the industry. I still like making movies. I still like being creative. So we formed SorboStudios.com, my wife and I, and we're kind of just doing our own thing right now. And every time we've been fortunate to get funded on the movies I do, it's always been a God thing, because it's like pulling teeth, you know? It sounds like a lot of money when you say, I need $3 million for a movie. Well, that's catering budget in Pirates of the Caribbean. Those are $300 million movies. So, and you see the agenda Hollywood has, and Amazon, Netflix, and the things they put out, and the things they push on all of us. And now it's gone, you know, it's infiltrated through the universities and, you know, all the way down to preschool. It's crazy what we're doing. So I'm trying to do movies that made me fall in love with movies in the first place. You know, movies that my mom watched, I watched with her when I was a kid, like Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn, Cary Grant, you know, Jimmy Stewart. Those are the movies I love to do.
Last time you were here, we saw The Miracle in East Texas.
Right.
What has happened with that movie, and what have you got on the docket now?
Finally, it looks like it's finally going to get out there. And thank God it's a movie that's based in 1930, so it's not something that's going to age. It's not a topic that's going to age. And, you know, I was fortunate not to get that out just as COVID hit, because we were ready to go into theaters. It would have not done anything, because they closed every theater down. So that movie's coming out in the fall. We've got the Reagan movie coming out with Dennis Quaid and myself. He plays the president, I play the pastor. And it was directed by Sean McNamara, where Dennis and I had worked with him years ago, 10 years ago, on Soul Surfer, the Bethany Hamilton story, about the girl who lost her arm in a tiger shark attack. And then I've got, I directed Miracle in Texas. I also directed the next Left Behind movie, based on Left Behind books. This one's called Rise of the Antichrist. And I finished shooting in December. My cut is done. Now it's with the rest of the special effects teams and the coloring and sound production and all that. So that movie's probably going to be around Thanksgiving, I think. And then I have a documentary coming out that I narrated. It's a follow-up to the documentary I did last year with Brent Miller's company. And that was the number one doc on Amazon for 5 months. And it's called, that was called Before the Wrath. So I highly recommend Before the Wrath. It deals with the second coming. This one, I love this title. I wish I came up with it. They did. It's called Eating with the Enemy. It's about the Last Supper.
Eating
with the Enemy.
Yeah.
So it deals with the lives of the disciples up until the crucifixion. It's pretty fascinating. So staying busy. I'm leaving May. I'll be a month shooting another documentary in Israel, an archaeological dig. They've unearthed the oldest temple they've ever found, and they've already interviewed all the scholars and guys, so I'm coming over to be an on-camera guy, but also be the guy that narrates it. I have a Western we're shooting in Oklahoma, a faith-based Western called Trailblazers. And then after all these years in the business, I'm finally gonna shoot a movie in my home state of Minnesota. So never have. I shot commercials up there, but I've never shot a movie, and it's a race car movie.
A what?
It's a race car. It it's pretty cool. I play a mentor to these young drivers and stuff, and it's a fun script, and I'm looking forward to be part of that one as well. And there's a lot of things bubbling. So there's a couple of things that I want to get done that look like we're close to getting funding on at least one of them.
Since Westerns is something I grew up with, and yeah. I really love that genre, how does that fit into what's going on today? And I'm happy to hear that something's coming along that way.
Tell us about that. What's interesting about Westerns, they still play very well in America and Canada and Australia. I got the Outback in Australia, there's little cowboys there and stuff, but they don't do what they used to do back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even the 70s, where they played well around the world. So you don't see that many anymore being made. I've done about four of them through Hallmark through the years. My favorite is called Avenging Angel. I highly recommend that. It's a faith-based Western as well. And it's pretty well written. We got a great cast in there. You got Dean Cain, we got Scott Baio, we've got... who else is in there? Christy Swanson's in it. It's a good crowd. We got a good crowd of people that are going to be there. All believers. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Is there a certain satisfaction, maybe, you know, you think of that when you finish shooting or finish a script, from a faith-based script or movie to a mainstream? Or secular Hollywood movies that continue to come out versus... a lot of the work that we get to see, that we enjoy today, that you do with faith-based.
I'll tell you, sir. I did a movie called Let There Be Light. My wife originally wrote it. We had Dan Gordon come in and do the rewrite on it. Academy-nominated writer, great writer. He wrote Denzel Washington's movie, The Hurricane, where Denzel Washington won the Academy Award. He was nominated for original screenplay. He was a showrunner on Highway to Heaven. Wrote 60 episodes of Michael Landon's series. He's a very dear friend of mine. I've got a couple other scripts from him we're trying to raise money for right now, and. I'm sitting in my office one day in my house, and I get a phone call. I pick up the phone, hello, and go, Sorbo, it's Hannity. And, you know, I wasn't surprised at my number. I've been to a lot of Fox shows, I'm Fox Business, everything through the years. He goes, I love that Soul Surfer movie, and God's Not Dead movie. You got something like that? And I said, yeah, I do. He said, fly to New York and pitch me. I said, can I just pitch you right now? I live in L.A. Let's get on a plane. He hangs up on me. So we get on a plane, we go and pitch him. For 30 minutes, we're pitching him the story, the whole story. And he didn't interrupt once. That was a miracle in itself that Hannity didn't interrupt us one time. And he wrote a check right then and there. And that movie opened number two per screen average. It was a $2.3 million budget. It opened number two per screen average against Thor Ragnarok, a $300 million movie that had a $100 million advertising budget. Netflix calls me up and says, we see that you have a strong foot in the, you know, faith-based world. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to do inspirational division here at Netflix. Can you come in and meet with us? So I had four meetings over 2 months with these guys. And by the fourth meeting, I realized it was just all lip service. There's so much hatred, and there's so much anger and divisiveness, and Hollywood is huge at creating that as well. And I just looked at them all. We're in a big room like this. We had about 15 people from Netflix in front of me, and I just said, okay, you guys got to get past your ideology and your hatred towards Christians. There's 80 million homes out there that want the kind of movies that I do, that the Irwin brothers do, that the Kendrick brothers do. And you guys are ignoring that because of whatever the brainwashing has been going on through the media, through the government, through everybody else. Why would you not jump in there? You can scream socialism and communism all you want. They're a capitalist business. They want to make money. They got stockbrokers. They got stockholders, everything. It's the hypocrisy just blows my mind, and they continue to show the hypocrisy even more now in our COVID over the last couple of years. And I just looked at them and said, you can laugh all the way to the bank at us stupid Christians. As long as I can have the satisfaction of doing what I want to do, and show people out there that there's better product than what you guys are doing. Because they know that so many people, look at the Oscars, look at the Emmys. The ratings go down more and more and more every year because they're tired of these spoiled brat stars that get up there and sit there and tell the world how they should vote and what they should do, and their hatred towards Republicans, conservatives, Christians. They don't hide back from that at all anymore. There's a lot of Christian conservatives in Hollywood that you will never know about, but I know who they are. And they're the ones that thank me for coming out of the shadows. And I'm going, dude, when are you going to do it? Well, you know, I lost my career almost. I had to create that different path. God opened another door for me because I wanted to stay in this business. So there's a huge difference. And why Hollywood doesn't do it, it blows my mind. And it makes me very sad to see that this is going on, but it's going on.
You speak about, you know, getting to come out of the shadows, and there's others who are still in the shadows. Have you had any success in maybe helping bring somebody else out of the shadows and maybe set?
Oh, sure. I'm not going to name names for themselves, but I know people are out there talking more. I mean, you know, like the movie Let There Be Light, first thing God says in the Bible, I'm here to shine light on the darkness out there, because they run and flee. I mean, the internet is the Wild West to me, and there's a lot of evil within the internet. It's sad to me. There's a lot of good things about it too. But unfortunately, it's created people that, I mean, I can post on Twitter, beautiful day on the golf course day. I hope you die. Hope your daughter gets raped. I mean, the stuff people say blows my mind. And it's like, those people get to stay up, but you take me down on Facebook and Twitter. I mean, and Facebook banned me 14 months ago for speaking the truth. And most of the stuff I said now, I could probably say. You know, I'll probably say it up there tonight because it's one of my favorite tweets. I said, hey, does anybody have any conspiracy theories? Because mine keep coming true. You know, yeah. So it's like, and this is what we got to deal with out there right now. But I'm going to keep fighting the good fight because I'm already there. I just directed Left Behind, two actors I had in it thanked me for what I'm doing. I go, well, then wake up. I said, you're afraid to lose friends? They weren't your friends to begin with. You know, I still got atheist friends, agnostic friends. We still go out and golf together and give each other a hard time and have a good time. You know, I work on them. They work on me. They're going to change my mind. I may not change their mind, but I'm telling you, I get stopped through airport lobbies and hotels and people. It's not Hercules. It's not Andromeda. It's say, we love the movies you're doing. Please make more movies. First time when God Sent Dead came out in 2014, my wife and I were at the airport in Salt Lake City. And this woman walks up to me and she says, are you Kevin Sorbo? I said, I am. I could tell she was from the Middle East just because of her heavy accent. She said, I'm from Iraq. I grew up Muslim. I watched your movie. I became a Christian because of your movie. I cried, my wife cried, we all cried sitting around praying for in the middle of the airport. And that's been happening all the time since then. And I know I'm on the right path, I'm doing the right thing.
The thing that amazes me, we read a book called Woke Inc., how intelligent people, and you know, people who are well-educated and well-spoken can get so far off the track.
Sure.
You got any?
But you know, it started decades ago in our schools. I mean, I was in school, that I didn't, you guys didn't have that either. You know, we didn't have that. I didn't have teachers tell me how to vote. I didn't have teachers tell me to believe in God or not believe in God. We had SWAT boards up in every school, remember? I mean, if you got in trouble, the parents said, yeah, give him a good whack if he's being a jerk. You know, and we don't do that anymore. You know, the gloves are off, and the gloves aren't off. We're letting the kids, teachers show up and they just pretend, they want to be the kids' best friends. You're there to teach, you're not there to be their friend, just like a parent. You know, no is a good word. But we're not using that anymore, and we're having kids run the show. You look at typical sitcoms. The dad is always some idiot moron. The mom's hot, and the kids just make fun of dad all the time. So decades of that going on. These kids it's a brainwashing, and that's what we're doing. Walt Disney said movies and television will influence our youth. That was in the 1950s. Well, hello. I think Walt Disney's flipping his grave. What Disney's doing right now.
Yeah, you just mentioned two things that I was going to talk about. Yeah. One was ask you about what you thought about this Twitter takeover, supposedly. And
it'd be interesting.
What do you think about the Disney thing? And I know you're against
it as we all are. It's crazy what's going on. You know what? People, in their personal life, fine, whatever. But people are tired of things getting forced down their throats and everything through what commercials, through television, through movies, whatever it may be. I'm a pretty much live and let live guy. You know, and I work on gay people all the time, and you never find one gay person saying that I was a homophobe and I was mean to work with. But on the internet, you know, I'm a racist, I'm a homophobe, I'm a Nazi, and they're going, really? It's like, give me an example of it. And they can't. But, you know, these are people. I think this is where the term "misery loves company" came from. Seriously, these people are people that you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. These old people don't love themselves. These people hate themselves. They look in the mirror and hate what they see, and that's sad to me. And I know we should pray and hope good things happen to these people, but these people are lost souls, and they're filled with nothing but evil and hatred and darkness. They don't like their jobs if they have them. They don't like their relationships if they have. They don't like anything about their lives, and they think they're going to feel better by going after you and me and other people that are on a better road because they forged that better road. I didn't have anything growing up. My dad was a junior. I teach him, the fourth of five kids. My clothes, my hand-me-downs, my older brothers, but I didn't feel I was without anything because my parents were... A great community, again, loving parents, great teachers, great coaches for football and basketball and baseball and all sports I played through school. I had a great safety net around me. College opened my eyes a little bit more to, you know, reality, what's going on in the world, and after that, woken up even more. But I was very fortunate to have parents that instilled hard work in all of us. I mean, I was 9 years old. I was doing my own paper out for 7 years. I got up at 4:30 in the morning, 6 days a week, in Minnesota winters, and delivered 80 newspapers. And I had enough money to buy my own first car when I got to high school. And I bought a beat up old 1967 Mustang. But I'll tell you what, as I tell my kids, when you work hard and buy it yourself, you appreciate it more than just being given to you. And you do.
Yeah.
And And I learned hard work from my parents. They were farmers in Iowa, you know.
Your wife deals with homeschooling. Has you seen an uptick in that in the last couple of years?
That's one blessing of COVID. 2 million more kids being homeschooled. Thank God. Get them out of public schools. I'm sorry. It's just like, it's a cesspool in there right now. And it's weird. I've done PSAs on bullying. Bullying still just gets worse every year. And now people on the internet bully constantly. I mean, you got teenage girls committing suicide because they'll post something and 12,000 people will say, you're ugly, you're fat, I mean, it's horrible. And they take it so personally because they think these are friends. These aren't your friends. I got this many friends. No, they're not really your friends. You don't know them at all. They may enjoy what you're doing on the internet or something, but you know. And all it is, most of these things now on TikTok is just like soft porn. It's crazy. These girls are jiggling for the camera.
What do you hope people take home from your message tonight? What do you hope they get out of your message tonight?
That they don't let anyone set their limitations, that they fight. Fight the good fight. Don't be afraid to stand up. Don't be afraid to shout out. I mean, we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to go for that, you know, that light on the hill and not be afraid to. Jesus was the original man walking the road less traveled. And we need not to be afraid to get on that road. And, you know, he says in the Bible, he says, you know, people will come after you just like they came after him. I mean, the Pharisees, let's face it, there was an ego, there's a jealousy thing about this guy that had so much power with people. And you know, it's weird. I mean, Mel Gibson took so much flack for making The Passion. And now he's got the next one coming, The Resurrection. And that probably, they won't start filming for another year or two. But they're doing it. They're doing it. And God bless them. I mean, Mel's got his demons. We all got our demons. Well, none of us are perfect, but we as Christians, I think, got to realize that too, because I know with my atheist friends, I say, yeah, but you got enough Christians out there that, you know, they think they're so much better than everybody else. And they're not wrong with that sometimes. I've had somebody say to me one time, I can't remember what show I was doing, they said, you better watch your step, man. If you do something wrong, the Christians will come after you. And I said, that's just sad. We're supposed to be the, you know, the people of forgiveness, because none of us are perfect. I know I'm not. Still a work in progress.
Because you're working in that media, is there any thought about doing any YouTube stuff, TikTok stuff with a Christian?
You know, I'm going to start my own. I should have started years ago, but there's a company called FaithX, and they're an offshoot, a group of people that used to work with Joel Osteen out of Houston. They've left him, and now they're forming their own thing to do more theater and more movies and TV shows. And I just signed with them now to do three a week, 15, 20 minutes, and it can be about anything and everything. You know, I made a joke. I said, I may just do 20 minutes on people never using their blinkers in cars because it drives me crazy. Am I supposed to know which way you're turning? So just, I said, I want to keep it fun and loose, but I mean, we'll do quite a bit of talking on a variety of subjects, but I'm starting that in a couple of weeks. I should have started long ago, but I just haven't done it.
And where will we see it?
It's called FaithX. I think if you go online, you find out where they are. I'm still trying to come up with a name. I haven't come up with a name yet, but I don't know. We'll see, you know.
We interviewed an interesting man today. His name is Brant Hansen. Brant Hansen.
Right.
And
okay.
He wrote a book called We Need Men. And it's about...
Look what we've done in the men's camp. We've been doing it for the last 30, 40 years. I said, you know, do women really want to marry men like them? I said, there's a difference between the sexes. It's as simple as that. I've always thought that... this gentleman right here, big star in the NBA, I've always said, for a joke, some NBA players that, you know, because it's a tough business. I mean, you know, most careers may be 3-4 years long at the most, if you're lucky, because there's so much talent coming up behind. It's in every sport, it's that way. So I said, those guys that I play, in fact, I played in three city leagues in California for 6 years before I got Hercules. And one was the Beverly Hills League, and there was a lot of Pac-10 guys in that league. So I'm going up against a guy 7 feet tall, getting elbows in my face, you know. And it was a tough league, and I thought, it would have been funny for the joke. These guys said, okay, I'm a woman, and go play in the WNBA. You want some 7 foot, 290-pound guy? This has got to stop.
Yes.
I mean, seriously,
yeah, I agree.
This is crazy that we have so many people saying, well, he identifies as a woman. Fine. But he's not. Okay, you want to look at it. Bruce Jenner, I've known Bruce forever. And you know, we all saw what's going on with Bruce anyway, and then the Caitlyn thing happened. But the thing is, and she is saying that this is wrong, and it is wrong. It doesn't make any sense, and that we're built differently. You look at Annika Sorenstam, number one golfer in the world for many years. Three times in her heyday, she golfed in a PGA event. They brought her in. Vijay Singh made a comment about it. What is this, a circus act? She's taking a spot away from a male that's trying to make a living in the professional world of golf. Well, she came in there, and all three tournaments, she didn't make the cut. The number one female golfer wasn't good enough to make the top 75 guys each week that she played in. So what does that say? And she's awesome. She kicked my butt. You know, and I'm a pretty good golfer. But it's like, okay, when are we get to the point, say, enough is enough when you have this? Male weightlifters going into female weightlifting like they did in the Olympics? That person from New Zealand or something? This is just weird. I'm trying to wrap my head around why we're getting this place, not only in our country, in the world, that we're saying, yeah, but it's fine because they feel that way. Well, I said, okay, I feel like a watermelon today, you know? It's like, I think more than anything is people need help more than anything else.
Isn't that a spiritual thing?
Sure, could be a spiritual thing.
Sure.
Yeah. You good?